Okay, good morning. So we're going to talk about how to deal with anger. Yesterday we spoke about the trait of anger, how the Rambam views it as one of the two traits you should completely eliminate, completely cleanse and purge. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished, barred entry from Eretz Yisrael because of his anger, Shimon HaMorim. How do you deal with anger? How do you try to improve it? How do you try to eliminate it? So you have to really divide your response to anger into two different responses. And typically, those two responses pertain to different parts of your life. The first type of response is anger management. Namely, you're going to get angry, your temper's going to flare, you're going to feel all this ire and rage and fury. How do you respond? How do you behave when you feel that way? The second question is, how can I become a person that doesn't even feel anger, that doesn't get angry, that doesn't feel that rage, and therefore I don't have to deal with this oncoming tide of emotions? Generally, it's not always true, it depends upon your disposition. Generally, at this age in your life, when you're 18, when you're in your early 20s, generally that's the time of anger. Young people, especially males, tend to be angry. It's really hard to eliminate the anger. Some people are different, depending on how you were bred, depending on your parents, depending on your surroundings. But at least I would recommend to most people your age to work on management. How do you manage the crisis? How do you manage the anger moments? How do you behave? And slowly but surely, as you grow older, you're able to reach the point where you know yourself better, you have more emotional self-awareness, and then you can try to eliminate anger or try to transform into someone that doesn't reach the stage of anger. So how do you manage anger? The best way to manage anger is just to wait things out. Imagine anger is like a momentary lunacy. You're possessed by some foreign force that controls your activities. I wouldn't call it an addiction, although some people are addicted to anger. But as if, imagine you're drunk, imagine you're on drugs. Let's say the doctor told you, by the way, you just had surgery, I've injected some drugs into your body as anesthesia. You're not going to be yourself for the next 4 or 5 hours. So you won't drive, you won't sign a multi-million-dollar deal. You won't take any decisions that require judgment because you don't have your judgment. You're still very confused, you're still very discombobulated. You have to view anger that way. And the truth is, it's very hard to view anger because part of anger convinces you that you're not and that you're seeing things clearly and that whatever made you angry has to be responded to immediately, and if you don't respond to it immediately. So if you listen to me telling you this, maybe after 15 times of trial and error, you'll say, you know what, I have to stop acting out of anger, because every time I act out of anger, I humiliate myself, I say silly things, I say things I regret, I embarrass myself, I hurt people's feelings. And maybe Rabbi Tarragon is right. Maybe I just have to be the person that counts 10 hours or 12 hours. In 95% of the cases, whatever your response that you feel you have to provide to whatever angered you, it can wait a day. Like, there are some cases that it can't wait a day, but in overwhelming cases, you can really wait it out, give it a day, sleep on it, not to respond, not to change your decision, but the response will be more measured, more calibrated, more reasoned, less humiliating, less ferocious. So try to just train yourself, okay, something happened, made me angry, I want to respond to it, I want to deal with it, you know what? Let me just give it a day. Let me just wait 24 hours and wait it out. You see this a lot with Yaakov. Yaakov's always someone that waits things out. In Parshas Vayishlach, when he hears about Shimon and Levi's shenanigans, he waits it out. When he hears about Yosef's dreams, Aviv Shamar as a Dabar, he knows how to wait things out. And part of waiting things out is just the ability to be quiet. It's a good trait in life in general to learn how to be quiet, that you don't always have to be speaking, you don't always have to be saying things. Shimon Gamliel grew up in the house of Rabbi Gamliel, and he saw a lot of great people coming through that house. And he said, of all the great traits that I saw in these splendid people, these marvelous people, the best trait I saw was shtika, just to know how to be quiet. And sometimes when you're angry, you're just bursting at the seams, and you have to say something. How can you swallow things that make you upset? How can you swallow your anger? How can you swallow your pride? Waiting, quiet, breathing. Sometimes in the modern world, we've discovered that breathing exercises can help reduce stress and reduce panic, and just learn to breathe deeply, breathe in, breathe out, walk away, take a walk. Essentially, whatever tactics you feel can create that delay so that you can return to this issue. I'm not saying you should drop the issue. I'm not saying you shouldn't respond. But if you can return to the issue tomorrow or in a couple hours, you'll find that without that fury and anger and rage and your mind is shaking and your hands are shaking, you'll find that whatever response you're giving is more measured, and probably more successful. Okay, so that's Thomas Jefferson. I'm sorry to be a little bit of a homie. But Thomas Jefferson, or maybe American Revolutionary, so interesting, is that they were also moralists. They thought about moral behavior. How can we create a moral society? So Thomas Jefferson wrote Ten Commandments, his own Ten Commandments, new Ten Commandments to try to live by. And one of his commandments is, when you're angry, count to 10. When you're really angry, count to 100, count to 20, I forget what it is. So just count it out, breathe, be quiet, wait some time, put a stopwatch on 10 hours, watch the stopwatch twiddle down, tick down, and then all of a sudden you'll find that your responses, you're not avoiding anger, you're just avoiding anger-based responses and anger-based behavior. In terms of trying to eradicate anger, that's a lot more difficult. It's a lot more sensitive. You have to be an older person. You have to be more emotionally self-aware. But I would say the two or three ways to eliminate anger, the best way to eliminate anger is what I spoke about yesterday. Hillel was able to avoid anger because he was a humble person. Most of our anger comes from being frustrated in life because we don't receive what we deserved. I deserve this. I deserve the money. I deserve not to be in traffic. My life's important. I deserve better treatment for my wife. I deserve better treatment for my chavrusa. I deserve it. It's generally what makes us angry is when we feel cheated out of something we deserve. So anger is rooted in dashed expectations that stem from deservedness. If you don't feel that you deserve anything, if you have a low opinion of yourself, not low in self-negating, but you don't feel that anything's coming to you, you feel self-contained is a better way to say that whatever I'm able to achieve on my own, that I'll try to achieve and receive. And I don't expect people to serve me. I don't expect people to honor me. I don't expect people to deliver to me. I'm self-contained. I don't have expectations from other people. I don't have expectations in the world. I'll try my best. You'll find that the cause of anger is almost eliminated. 99% of anger comes when you feel that something's been, some crime, some offense, some injustice. Even if there's no traffic, there's no criminal, but you feel it's a crime. I've got important things to do. My life is important. This is depriving me. Therefore, I'm being taken out of my goals and out of my track and out of my lane. So if you don't feel that you're that important, and you don't feel, not in a way that negates your talent and your agenda, but I know it sounds hard to reconcile the two. What do you mean if you're not important? What about your ambition? But you'll find that the only way I can explain this here is I felt this very powerfully with Rav Lichtenstein. I felt that his humility was based on, I don't deserve anything. Nothing's coming to me. I'm a simple person. I'll try my best to receive and to deliver to this world. But when things happen, that I get the bad seat on the airplane, I get the bad traffic, I get the bad food, I didn't get the pizza, I don't feel like it's coming to me. And that's the humility of Hillel. And the story I said yesterday, where these two people bet that they could anger Hillel, the person came nudging him at the door, pestering him. Erev Shabbos, why do Babylonians have webbed feet, and why do Asians have slanted eyes? And Hillel wasn't angry, not because he had anger management, because he didn't feel that his time was coming to him. I was Erev Shabbos, I'm taking a shower. How could you disrupt me? How can you annoy me? Okay, it's Erev Shabbos. My time is your time. If you need me to answer silly questions, I'll answer silly questions. So there's a part of humility. That's really the core of not being angry. You don't deserve things, and whatever you get in life, you're grateful for. And if it doesn't come, okay, so you did your best. Other ways to avoid anger is not to be petty. Generally, you're angry because in the moment, things are amplified. I need to get home. Traffic, again, here's an example of traffic. That person hurt my feelings. If you take the broad perspective, how is this going to change your life? Not really. You'll still have the same life. So you'll move on, you'll find another chavrusa, you'll find another relationship, you'll make some money, you'll survive, you'll get home, tomorrow the sun will rise. Anger has a way of, I call it the Cyclops monster. You know Cyclops? Cyclops is a Greek god or a Greek animal, and only one eye. Greek god, only one eye. So you call it cycloptic vision. So anger is cycloptic. It narrows your vision, and this is the worst thing, and the world's coming to an end. It makes you really full of rage and angry. But you just say, you know what, this will pass. Tomorrow will be a new day. My life isn't going to be that dramatically shifted by whether I got the traffic ticket, I didn't get the traffic ticket, I made more money. It's hard because anger shrinks and draws you into a very small rabbit hole of its perspective. The third way to solve anger is just to realize how consuming it is. Ultimately, the greatest victim of your anger is not the person you hurl your invective at, the person you scream at, the person you shout at, the person chas v'shalom you abuse. The ultimate greatest victim of your anger is yourself. Anger is toxic. Anger is physically unhealthy for you. And if you try to, every time you get angry, you're just cutting years off of your life. This is medically proven. People that are calm, people that are serene, people that don't live with anger, have healthier lives, deeper relationships, kinder relationships with people. So if you realize every time you get angry, you're essentially taking another, smoking a cigarette. You won't smoke cigarettes, right? Because you know that it's toxic for your lungs. So every time you get angry, it's like an emotion. It's a heart cigarette. It's a heart lung. You're just putting more tobacco, more smoke into your system, more anger. And you've met people that just are angry people. And they're always angry. And their lives are very, very sad. And their lives are very, very bitter. And they're the greatest victims. Because you just run out of people to be angry with. And you just live with anger. That becomes your best friend. And that's your go-to place. That's your chavrusa. You know, some people have chavrusas in Daf Yomi. Some people have chavrusas in anger. And they're always angry with things. And just... So those are the three ways I would try to work on. I try to work on eliminating anger. Number one, try to come from a place of humility. Nothing's coming to you. Number two, perspective. It's not really going to change the overall arc of your life. Maybe a little harder, a little more hard, a little less hard. Number three, not to underestimate how toxic and how dangerous and self-consuming and addictive sometimes anger is. It's not easy, but I promise you, if you work at it over the course of your life, you'll find it's really one of the greatest traits to work on. It takes a long time. At this stage, focus on managing your anger. But if you can become someone that's not angry, it's almost a gift of life. If you have to ask me, aside from humility, what's the best gift I could give someone as a character trait? Not to be angry. And you'll find it radically changes your life. Your heart feels better. Your life feels better. Your head feels better. You just feel like a better person, more at peace with yourself. You're not constantly torn apart by anger and contention and fear. Okay. So this is the second trait, the trait of kas. Okay. Have a calm day. Breathe in, breathe out. Some of you are going to have better days, worse days. Some of you, unfortunately, will have less shi'ur than you could have otherwise had. Don't get angry. You'll be all right. I'm still here. Have a good day, everyone.